And if the group down here ever learns to stay with this group down here, no telling what they could do. I'm joking, folks. Open your Bibles tonight to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. May I say, Brother and Mrs. Dominguez, and Brother and Mrs. Martinez, what a delight this is. What a special blessing to this preacher to be able to be a part of this ordination service. And it is our desire to challenge you tonight to do the Lord's work. Now these singers are just like all singers. They sing and then leave. They were so scared they had to go to the restroom before they could come back in. They did a wonderful job, didn't they? That was a blessing. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, "For your stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, and neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostle of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us." I want to go back for just a moment and point out verse number 4 as the basis for our message tonight. "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." Heavenly Father, help me tonight to be a blessing and a challenge and give a charge to these men of God as they set out on this wonderful mission of fulfilling your calling and your will for their life. We ask you to bless them. We ask you to fill them with thy Holy Spirit. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless their families, their wives, and use them to be a great help and support to their pastor husband. Now, Lord, I ask for your filling tonight, and help me to be plain, clear, and simple so that everyone here might understand exactly what is being said. And we'll give you glory and praise and honor for what you shall do in our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Scripture tells us we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Now, I'm preaching to everyone tonight, but I am directing this as a charge to Brother Dominguez and Brother Martinez. And I want you to know, God says, as men of God, we have been allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Gold is so commonplace, he hides it in the hills and the streams and the mountains. Diamonds, he puts in the mines in Africa and Arkansas and other places in the world. But when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, I'm going to take my precious word and I'm going to have the right to entrust it to men who have been called of God and yielded their life to God. And I want you to know, you hold in your hand and in your ministry and your calling a sacred trust. And your entire life will be lived to prove that God can trust you, that you are trustworthy. What a privilege is ours. He says we are allowed of God. Out of the multitude, 7 billion people in this world today, less than 10% can even say, I know Jesus Christ. And of those, how many of them can say, I'm really saved? I don't know. But out of those that are truly saved, he calls out some men and entrusts to them the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the leadership of his church as men of God. What a privilege is ours, allowed of God. And then may I say to you, you've been chosen out of the multitudes. Many are called, few are chosen. And what's the difference between the many called and the few chosen? The few that's chosen are those that hear that call and say, here am I, Lord, use me. They yield their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been entrusted with the gospel that we might preach it. Preach it. Trusted by God. And we're accountable to God for how we preach it. The Bible says we're to preach it, we're to teach it, we're to live it, not to please men, but to please God. Now we're charged by God to preach to please Him and not man. Now God's preachers will be challenged daily by the devil and by some men. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the devil and some men. But we'll be challenged to soften the message or compromise a principle. But may we all may always remember that God has called us. God has chosen us. And God has entrusted to us His Word to handle it rightly, to preach it faithfully, to live by its precepts. So one day when we stand before Him, we'll hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We must be resolute in our determination to stay true to God and His Word. Our lives, our service, and our preaching must at all costs please God, even if it doesn't please some people. It'll please God when we stay with the book, when we live by its precepts, when we honor Him and glorify Him and not try to glorify man. Now, what kind of a man does God desire His preachers to be? What should characterize our lives as men of God? Well, let me say, first of all, it is without saying that God is only going to call saved men. But according to the Bible, God's not just looking for saved men. He's looking for faithful men. Faithful. Now, when we think of the word faithful, we think about one that's always about the Lord's work. But the word faithful means also faithful, full of faith. And may I challenge you that a faithful man must believe this book. He must believe it is the very Word of God. He must believe it is the only rule of authority in all matters of faith and practice. We must not only teach it, we must live it first. The greatest message you'll ever preach is the message you live day by day, hour by hour. The message your children see and your wife sees and your neighbors see. And that message on a daily basis must not change from the message they hear from the pulpit. on Sunday morning. God's looking for faithful men. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, Paul, instructing this young preacher, said, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." May I say to you men tonight, we preach and teach a little by what we say. We teach more by what we do. We teach most by what we are. And may God help us that what comes out of our mouth and what we practice in our life both be in agreement with this blessed book. May we believe it and breathe it and live it and walk it and teach it and preach it all the days of our life. If I read something in the Word of God and I don't understand it, I don't label it as error. If I don't understand it, the problem's not with God, it's with my understanding. I believe this is God's very Word, and I'm going to live my life to be faithful to it. And have for almost 46 years preaching the Word of God. Faithful to His Word. God's looking for faithful men. Brother Martinez and Brother Dominguez, you have proven yourself faithful to this point. But that's not enough. God says, until death. Until death. God hasn't called us for a little span of time. He wants us to be faithful till He calls us to glory. Faithful. Faithful men. Secondly, God's man must be a surrendered man. A surrendered man. That means we yield up our will to God. We give up our life to God. Not my will, but thine be done. Jesus prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was yielding himself to the perfect will of God to go to the cross and die for our sins. The Apostle Paul, when he got saved, the first words out of his mouth was, "What wilt thou have me to do?" He was surrendering his life to God. And may I say to you that God is not looking for someone who will argue with Him about His will or His Word. He's looking for men who will take God's will and God's Word and follow God. Where He leads me, I will follow. And what He feeds me, I will swallow. He's looking for surrendered men. The ministry must not be a sideline nor secondary in our life. God is calling us. Jesus said to His disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And may I say, a cross is something we die on. A cross is a place of execution, a death. And what Jesus is saying, if you're going to follow me, you must so completely surrender till you die to yourself. Die to your will. Die to your plans, so that God's plan and God's will may be your purpose for living and your purpose for serving and your existence. Day by day, God's looking for faithful men, and God's man must be a surrendered man. Thirdly, God's man must be a compassionate man. Let me tell you right now, if you're going to do the Lord's work, you're going to have to be tough. There's going to be times you're going to have to look at men and say, "It's not going to happen, sir. That goes against the will of God. It goes against the doctrine of God. It goes against the Bible of God. It's not going to happen." There's times you got to be tough, you got to be strong. But may I say, more than anything else, We cannot allow toughness to take away the tenderness. God is choosing men who are compassionate men. Compassionate. Jesus saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion, for they were as sheep without a shepherd. And oh, my dear men, you must be men of strong character and strong will, but that will must be yielded to God. That heart must be tender. You must see the hurts and the needs and realize that God has put you here to minister to them. One preacher said ministry would be great if it wasn't for all those cotton-picking people we have to deal with. But it's the cotton-picking people that God has put us here for. And without them, we don't have a ministry. The ministry is not about people serving us. We're called ministers, servants. We're to serve the people, minister to the people. And we cannot be Christ-like if we are not compassionate. Compassionate means we feel the hurt in another person's heart. And we try to do something to relieve the hurt. God is looking for compassionate men. Paul illustrated what it was to be compassionate yet strong in the scripture that we read tonight in verse 7 and 8. He said, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her child. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own soul. Because you were dear unto us." God has called you to minister to people. And God will give you a people that you are their under shepherd. You are standing in for the great shepherd. And the shepherd must love his sheep. And it must show, not by compromise to please them when they want to go against God. But our love will be shown by standing true to the Word of God, because that's what's best for them. Love them. Learn to weep with them. Don't be afraid to tell your people, "I love you." And don't ever live in such a way that you fail to show it. If God is love, then God's man ought to have the love of God flowing into him and through him to others. Then may I say also, the man of God must be a spirit-filled man. Now, when you got saved, you were indwelt and sealed with the Spirit. And that's a one-time event. That indwelling and sealing is God's mark of ownership on you, that you belong to him. And your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost, and He is the witness within you to guide you into all truth, to help you day by day as you live for God, to empower you for the work of God, but also to be your witness within you that you are a child of God. Now, the man God's going to use must be a Spirit-filled man. And the filling of the Spirit does not mean we get more of Him, but He gets control of us. We yield our life to Him. That happens many times in our life. And the more we serve Him, the more times we're going to go back to Him and say, "Oh God, fill me with Thy Spirit. I tell you, I need Him day by day." And I pray that prayer every day at least once, many times more. God's looking for a Spirit-filled man. We're commanded, first of all, to be filled with the Spirit because of the great work we're called to do for God. It's not our work, it's His work. It's a ministry, it's a spiritual work, it's a heavenly work, and it's going to require divine power to accomplish it. So God says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And that statement means to be being continually filled with the Spirit. As God's man, you ought not let a day pass without walking in the Spirit and the fullness of His Spirit, being Spirit-filled men. Then we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit because of the great battles we must fight with the world and the flesh every day. Now, whether you know it or not, you're entering into a war zone, a battle. Now, you fought those battles as a Christian layman in the church, but I want you to know the devil's bullseye, the devil's crosshairs are going to be on you. And in order to overcome temptation and overcome Satan's attack and overcome the lust of the flesh and those battles we have to fight daily, we must be filled with the Spirit. If you're going to be the man of God to stand before people, young people, or a church to lead them, they need to hear a man that walks with God and is filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Walk in the Spirit. Live in the Spirit. Every man of God, with God's blessings and God's power on his life, have that blessing and power not because of personality and IQ and talent. They have that blessing and that power because that man of God walks with God and walks in the Spirit and walks by the book. And fifthly, the man of God must be honest and dependable men. He must be an honest and dependable man. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:7, "Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without." God wants our testimony not to be good only in the church, but outside the church. He wants it to be good among the saved, but He wants us as Christians to have a right testimony on those that are not saved. So God's looking for honest and dependable men. And how can a man stand in God's stead and represent a holy God of glory who is both honest and faithful? And that does not resonate in our life. The man God's going to use and bless is going to have to be an honest man and a faithful man. Any man who's not honest and dependable cannot represent an honest and faithful, dependable God. Before the Word of God can be preached effectively, it must be lived by the preacher honestly and dependably. And then may I say also, the man of God must be a clean man. Now, I don't mean by that you've got to take a bath every day, but I suggest that you do. What it does mean by being clean, we were all sinners saved by grace. Not one of us deserved to be used by God. When we got saved, we were cleaned up and forgiven and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The man of God must not go back out and live in the old sins he's been forgiven of. We were no good, hell-deserving sinners. That's what we were when we lived for the devil. But we've been forgiven. We've been cleansed. We've been reconciled to God. We've been called. We've been entrusted with the gospel. We must abide in the new life we have in Christ and not be entangled again in sin and in the world. God's looking for clean men. You say, but maybe it's just a little questionable. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let me challenge you to take this position. When it is not stated in black and white, but there is a question mark, always take the conservative position in everything but giving. And God loves a liberal giver. And then let me say also quickly, the man of God must be a growing man. And Brother Dominguez, you've been at this a while. But you're not everything God wants you to be. You've not learned everything that needs to be learned. You're not what God wants you to become. He is in the process of making you into the man He wants you to be. And Brother Martinez, likewise. Though you're about 50 years younger than Brother Dominguez. Though you're much younger than Brother Dominguez. You haven't yet attained. And may I say to you, if the Apostle Paul said, I've not yet attained. I've not learned everything there is to learn. I don't know everything I need to know. I'm going to keep on growing and learning till I've apprehended. And I want you to know, God wants you to understand, you men have to be growing men. Now, most of us misinterpret that and we start growing out our waistline. But God wants us to grow here and here and in our way of life for Him. Now, you must feed the sheep. And in order to feed the sheep, you're going to have to study. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to dig. You're going to have to seek God's will. You're going to have to learn the Word of God and hide it in your heart. Because the people will never become more spiritual than you are. You're their leader. So you must feed them. And in order to feed them, you've got to be growing and learning. Not only that, pastoring a church, sir, you won't have a pastor that will preach to you every week. So your study and prayer time and preaching must also feed you and your family. Man, sometimes preaching, I get under conviction at my preaching. Some of you don't. But if your hearts weren't so hard and cold, you would. But I get under conviction because it's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. And I have to deal with it. And if your preaching is what God wants it to be, you'll preach yourself under conviction. And it'll be the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want. Because He's growing us and learning us and teaching us. So we can feed the people of God. And then lastly, the man of God must be a thankful man. I've met some preachers that act like they did God a favor when they got saved. And they did God a greater favor when they surrendered to preach. But I want you to know it's not about me and you, it's about Him. We were sorry, worthless, hell-deserving sinners. And God in His grace reached down and picked us up. And why He chose us or called us to preach His Word, I don't know. But He did. God help us, we ought to be thankful. We ought to be thankful men. Thankful for the saving grace of God that included us. Thankful for the grace of God that put us in the ministry. Thankful for God's trusting us with the Word of God. And listen to me. Thankful for all those whom God used to win you to Christ. To teach you so you could grow in grace. And train you for the ministry. Don't you ever forget those who have invested in you. Those who have loved you and prayed for you. Be thankful, men. The fact is, we don't deserve anything we've got. If we got what we deserved, every one of us would be burning in hell. So be thankful, men. Be thankful for the people God gives you to minister. No, they're not perfect. That's the reason they need a minister. That's the reason they needed a Savior. But be thankful for them. And I promise you, our old depraved nature gives job security to the minister. Our work will never be ended until Jesus calls us home. Be thankful. Now let me conclude. You're about to begin a wonderful journey in the ministry. An exciting journey. Never complain about the tough times. Your children might be listening. You don't want them to grow up hating God and the church. Don't complain about the tough times. Your wife might be listening. And you don't want her to get bitter, a bitter spirit about the work of God or the people of God. Never complain about the Lord's work or the ministry, because some young person might be listening. Someone that God has been dealing with about yielding their life to Him. I'm so tired of preachers talking about all they go through for Christ's sake. Dear God, anything I go through in this life is nothing compared to what He's already saved me from. And it's nothing compared to the blessings God has bestowed upon my life. I'm here to tell you, you're looking at one preacher that never regrets one day of surrendering to the call of God. If I had 10,000 lives to live, I'd want to be a preacher in every one of them. So be thankful. Don't complain. Rejoice. And don't ever give up, give in, give out, or give over to the devil or the world. Don't quit. Just stay at it. Because failure cannot cope with persistence. We have a young man we sent out over to Wiley, Texas, to start a new church, Brother James Raspberry. First few years, he really struggled. He went through some difficult times, but he didn't quit. He calls me every Sunday afternoon just to give me a report. Most of the time, I haven't gotten home yet, so he just leaves a message on the answering machine. And today, I was there when he called and I picked up. He said, "I'm surprised to get you." He said, "Preacher, we had a wonderful day." And he told about how many they had in attendance and how many they had saved, and they baptized 8 this morning. Oh, what a blessing. But you know, all of that could have been forfeited if he had just given up. Quit. And just on the other side, where the devil tries to get you to quit, is God's victory and God's blessings waiting for you. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give over. Don't quit. Just keep on serving God. What a privilege to be called a man of God. Father, thank you for these men. We ask your blessings now upon the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, we're going to ask these men to come. Brother Dominguez and your wife, Neil, over here. Brother Martinez and your wife, Neil, here. And the presbytery is going to come by and lay their hands on you and pray for you, for God's blessing and God's power on your lives. And if you'll be in a spirit of prayer at this time, we will appreciate it.